You may have heard of a global megachurch Hillsong. We're talking 150,000 people worshiping every week in 30 countries, including celebrities. Justin Bieber, the pop star, the NBA's Kevin Durant, a Kardashian. Hillsong also owns a recording label that dominates modern Christian music. Quite the rise since Hillsong began in Australia back in 1983, and now potentially a long way to fall. Scandals have brought down Hillsong's founder and pastors at member churches here in the U.S., and this year more than half its American campuses decided to break away. Mike Cosper is a reporter and director of podcasting at Christianity Today, and we talked to him about Hillsong back in April. So help us understand Hillsong's rise. It began in the early 80s, West Sydney, Australia. How would you describe its theology and what its service is like?
Yeah, it's definitely in the sort of Pentecostal stream, which may be the dominant and fastest growing movement in Christianity around the world. And part of the sort of brilliance of the Hillsong model, so to speak, was that very early on, they had a very strong emphasis on music. And they produced a ton of music and they marketed it as a way to connect with churches all over the world.
Yeah. And the founder now is Brian Houston. And we have a piece of tape here of him preaching. Let's take a quick listen.
He called us right before he ascended in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you can be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the bottom of the South Island of New Zealand." Hey!
So Brian Houston, tell us a little about his personality, his magnetism, I gather.
Yeah, he was the son of a Pentecostal preacher himself. His father was a bit more of a fire and brimstone type. Brian had a vision for more of a generous spirit. Theologically, maybe not that different, but more of a sort of friendly, charismatic leader from the pulpit. And obviously, you know, from that clip, very much a global vision that permeated their church and permeated their ministry from the earliest days.
So here in the United States, you know, who over the years have been the Hillsong members? I've heard it described as hipster Christianity, a lot of urban members.
Yeah, they've targeted global cities. I mean, that was very intentional for them over the years. And in the New York Hillsong location, they literally had rows that were roped off for their celebrity members who would attend on Sundays. And so the ushers knew, oh, Kevin Durant's here. Let's make sure he gets sat up front, which interestingly is like literally direct violation of the Book of James that says don't give preferential seating to the wealthy in your community.
Wow. I mean, it's a show, the way you describe it. I mean, it's a hour of worship. It's a musical event. And then, of course, there have been a number of scandals and problems plaguing Hillsong. Let's first talk about 2020, when Hillsong fired Carl Lentz, described as a hype priest in one article, celebrity pastor at the New York City branch. He was fired for moral failures and eventually came evidence of extramarital affairs, including with a woman who became co-pastor of Hillsong Boston. How much, at the time, did that hurt the Hillsong church, the image, the brand?
They took a lot of action very quickly to address the story and to address it directly. A lot of critics of the church looked at all of that and said, this is spin, this is management, everybody knew what was going on. And it's hard to confirm that one way or the other based on what I'm aware of.
Yeah. Well, that happens. And then in March of this year, Brian Houston, Hillsong's founder, global pastor, resigned. He was accused of covering up his father's alleged pedophilia decades ago. And then Brian Houston was accused of his own inappropriate behavior, flirtatious text messages with a woman who was not his wife, and mysterious time in a hotel with a female. I mean, this is the founder. How did that land in the U.S. when that came?
You know, it depends on where you sat. We've lived through so much pastoral controversy in the last decade that I think many people who had seen what happened with Carl Lentz, who had been familiar with the fact that there was this ongoing legal battle and investigation into Hillsong regarding the history of child sexual abuse at the church, hopefully they didn't yawn, but they weren't surprised for sure. But because the church has such a powerful emotive effect on people, because you connect to people through worship and through song and through these things that are so deeply meaningful, I think for a lot of people, it was just devastating. It was crushing.
Hmm. Now, there's a new documentary from Discovery Plus called Hillsong, A Mega Church Exposed. And it tells some of the story. It describes how one person who was abused when he was a child by Frank Houston, the father of Brian Houston, met Frank many years later at a McDonald's, and Frank Houston agreed to pay him $10,000 as a settlement. Let's listen.
I telephoned Brian Houston as I had not yet received any money from Pastor Frank. We had a conversation to the following effect. Me, what's happening with the payment I was promised? I agreed to forgive your father. Brian, yes, okay, I'll get the money to you. There's no problem. You know it's your fault all of this happened. You tempted my father.
Wow, you tempted my father. Now, Brian Houston has denied he ever said this, but how do you react listening to this? This is from back in 2013, 2014.
Again, it's devastating. It's heartbreaking. The way these things happen oftentimes in churches when they're this big, I mean, the very idea that a religious institution built around the teachings of Jesus understands itself as a brand says a lot in and of itself, just the language. But because they do so, they end up adopting all of the same kinds of strategies that all kinds of corporations and institutions do to protect themselves in those ways. So, you know, I think what you see in that story and the way they tried to respond to Frank Houston's abuses was a very colossally ill-informed way of responding to abuse, and a malicious way to respond to the abuse, to try to push it down as quickly as possible. You know, they show this incredible disrespect. They offer him this cash payout that you compare to what a true civil settlement would be for that kind of damage. It's horrendously offensive. Unfortunately, that's one story of many.
So what happens now? Hillsong's founder is gone. It has these scandals here in the U.S. What's the sense of what happens now?
You've seen a number of churches that were part of the network have been disassociating from Hillsong. And then a lot of other folks, when you leave a church that's marked by this kind of abuse and leadership, the distrust in authority that naturally emerges from that kind of an experience translates into a distrust of sort of all spiritual authority as even an idea. And so people lose touch with their own religious convictions and religious connections. And it can be a painful, years-long, lifelong journey of trying to reconcile something that they once loved, a vision of life, a vision of human flourishing that they loved that was related to their faith, trying to reconcile that to this incredible evil, corruption, and heartbreak that they've experienced in their church.
Mike, you have hosted a podcast on the rise and fall of another mega church, Mars Hill, based in Seattle, also led by a very charismatic, telegenic leader. And as you say, there have been other brand name churches with brand name leaders who have stepped down, who have fallen. Is there a pattern here? Is there something structural going on, or are these a few bad apples?
I think there's a number of things that are contributing to it. You know, I do think culture-wide, there's corruption emerging in all kinds of institutions. There's also kind of a social rootlessness, just mass loneliness. People are looking for meaning. They're looking for purpose. And so when one of these charismatic leaders, whether it's in politics or in religion or in the church, when a charismatic leader like this shows up, you know, David Foster Wallace said it, you know, we're all dying to give ourselves away to something. People give themselves up to these causes and this vision. And what I think has happened along with this is because our institutions are weak and, you know, they don't have the power to sort of form people or to hold people accountable, it incentivizes someone who's extremely charismatic and extremely powerful to just keep indulging themselves inside of these organizations. And the ability to restrain someone's impulses that has that kind of authority and leadership is incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Mike Cosper is a reporter and director of podcasting at Christianity Today. Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.